My name's Ian Hepworth. I'm a Kirklees Local Authority educational psychologist and was responsible in part for the original introduction of Kirklees as Nurture Group Network. ADHD is a difficult area for psychologists and for schools, partly because it's not as discrete as people tend to think it is. Give something a label and you assume that it's sort of standard issue condition. You would always prefer to be able to help and manage the ADHD through behavioural approaches rather than medication. And to decide to put sometimes quite a young child on a medication as powerful as Ritalin and that family of drugs, to do that is a very big decision. What we tend to find is that a proportion of boys in particular who are diagnosed with ADHD or believed to have ADHD do respond very, very positively to life in the nurture group. It's the combination of the predictability, it's a question of feeling safe, it's a question of trusting that grown-up is leading you somewhere where it is safe and appropriate for you to go. And under those circumstances, children who display ADHD in their classroom settings very often don't display any of it in the nurture setting. And the skills that they learn in the nurture setting, they can take back to their classrooms, and then they cease to display those behaviours there as well. So it does really raise the issue of how many of those diagnoses of ADHD are valid diagnoses, and how often is it used as a descriptive term for the sort of behaviours the child is displaying.
My name's Chris Wilcox. I'm assistant head teacher for inclusion at Almondbury High School and Language College. There's a lot of different symptoms, and you'll see the symptoms in different ways in different children, and also between boys and girls as well. Girls do tend to internalise the behaviour and just really display the inattention in lessons and the daydreaming kind of behaviours. Well, a lot of the things that you do with ADHD, the same as with strategies for teaching people with dyslexia, a lot of it's founded in good teaching and understanding of the pupil that you've got in front of you. If you have a full appreciation of that child and you can separate and you know that that behaviour is not deliberately aimed at disrupting your lesson and you don't take that personally as a teacher, I think you can start moving forward with the individual children. I think the children have to understand their condition as well and how that impacts on other people. So there still has to be the consistency of dealing with the behaviour in the classroom in the same way as you would with any other child. The difficulty is drawing attention to that child for the difficulties that they have. So sometimes what's found in practice is that a secret signal to that pupil, which is negotiated between the teacher and the pupil, to actually indicate when they're displaying those kind of behaviours. Sometimes it can just be a touch on the shoulder as a secret signal. Sometimes it could be just a knowing nod or a knowing glance or a clicking of the fingers, something that's negotiated between. But it's got to be something that doesn't necessarily draw attention to that pupil. It's just as an indicator, as a marker to them that they're displaying that kind of behaviour, just so that they can modify their own behaviour in the classroom without, you know, the normal kind of routine of a public, warning or removal from the classroom, which wouldn't be wholly appropriate for that pupil. In terms of improving pupils' behaviour, I think it's important that staff are aware of the child's diagnosis so that they can separate the child from the behaviour. I think that's got to be at the root of everything that you do in the classroom, so that they don't see the behaviour as being a deliberate response. Although sometimes pupils with ADHD do present deliberate behaviours to try and avoid the work that they're trying to do in the classroom. In terms of strategies actually in the classroom, I think the learning environment's got to be set up in such a way so it doesn't play on the individual difficulties that the pupil will have. For example, sitting a pupil next to a window who's prone to daydreaming or prone to being distracted wouldn't be the best possible place for them to sit in the classroom. Sitting there near doors where there could be distractions outside might prove difficult for people to cope with. We have in the past given people things like stress balls to play with, so they've got something to fiddle with. The problem is with that, some people will get bored of that very, very easily, so they need to have a range of things on the desk, and staff just need to be aware of that. We have one young man who we're currently going through a diagnosis for ADHD at the moment, and he has to have something different every lesson. And he selects the item, the staff are made aware of it, and he will look like he's not paying any attention in the classroom at all, but he can answer any questions that are thrown at him once he's actually got his focus maintained. So there's simple things that you can do in a classroom, as well as more complex things as well.